Hello, and welcome to the Rails Envy podcast. I'm Jason Cipher.
And I'm Greg Pollock.
And this is episode 74, April 8th, 2009. The Rails Envy podcast is sponsored this week by Integrum. Integrum is a team of dedicated Rails developers who emphasize business value, speed to market, and open communication to build remarkable Rails applications. They build software that you've been told is impossible. Check them out at Integrum.com.
Chad Fowler put up a list of 20 Rails development no-nos that he culled from Twitter responses.
Oh, interesting. What do you have to say?
Let me give you a few of these anti-best practices. First, you've got you don't want code in your views.
What's wrong with that?
Like, it makes me think back to my Java servlet days. You know, ugly stuff. Don't use tabs instead of spaces, you know, and bad indentation is horrible.
But I'm used to Python.
Yeah. Bad or missing tests are a bad thing. And then we've got bad use of polymorphic associations and single table inheritance, accidental local variable assignment, and my personal favorite, misuse of validates uniqueness of.
Well, those are all good points, but why validates uniqueness of?
Well, that's kind of a strange one. It's so easy to use that it's tempting to just slap it into your code and consider it good enough. But even in the documentation, it warns you that you don't want to be using this in conjunction with the save because it doesn't guarantee the absence of duplicate record insertions, you know?
Gotcha. This article didn't mention my personal favorite.
And what's your Rails no-no?
Using Rails. So, Greg, have you tried upgrading any of your Rails apps to 2.3.2 from 2.2? It's a lot of twos, a lot of points.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't yet.
Oh, well, interesting. But Brad over on the Posterist blog put up an article on just that, upgrading your Rails app to 2.3.2. So when they did that, in his company, they had about 20 test failures, and he posted about what I thought is a pretty interesting method of fixing these.
Well, how do you do it?
So what he did was he did checkouts of the two versions of Rails into vendor Rails and then used git bisect to figure out which version of Rails introduced the bugs in his code, like which commit. Git bisect, if you're not familiar, does a binary search to find the change that introduced the bugs.
Interesting. So by going through everything with git bisect, he found the particular commit that introduced the bugs?
Right.
Couldn't he have just gone through the changelog?
Yes, but as he says, their code base does some really hacky things to Rails, so...
Oh.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess this is a really good idea if you're forced to do those nasty things to Rails. Ooh, you doing those nasty things.
Well, instead, if you don't want to get nasty, you want to get more geeky with some Ruby code, there was a recent thread on Stack Overflow about Ruby code that's too clever. It had a decent number of responses and things to check on if you want to make sure that your code isn't, you know, too clever.
There was a time where I was trying to write the most clever code possible in Ruby, and that was...
And then you look back to that code like 2 months later, and you went, what the hell was I thinking?
Why didn't I just use Perl? So, two things from the guys over on the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots blog.
Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots.
Dan Croak put together the 2009 Rubyist Guide to a Mac OS X Development Environment, where he goes over a pretty up-to-date way of putting together your Mac Ruby and Rails development box.
Nice. What does he say?
Well, definitely read the article, but he kind of goes over installing Git from the installer, setting up the Xcode tools, update Ruby gems, create fluid apps for your frequently used sites so you can integrate them with Quicksilver, set up aliases for frequently accessed sites, use image magic, and some other stuff.
What else came from the ThoughtPod guys this week?
Well, you know Hoptoad, their error tracker for Rails?
Yeah.
It now tracks deployments.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I guess this was one of their most requested features. So the notifier plugin now notifies Hoptoad when you do a deploy via a cap recipe. So Hoptoad's going to keep track of the errors as they relate to your different deployments, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, wow. So when an error comes in, it actually marks which deployment that error came in under?
Yes.
Nice. Speaking of setting up an environment, Clayton Lengels... Oh, Jesus.
Lengelzigic.
Clayton Lengelzigic. It is Zigic.
I guess, if you want to call it that.
Put up an article walking you through setting up RSpec, Cucumber, Arcuf, Autotest, Factory Girl, and WebRat, as well as walking through setting up a Rails app and getting Arcuf working with all of that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you know, all those tools together, it does take a little bit of work to figure out how to get them all working properly together along with Autotest, and it's good to see the tutorial like this.
Rich Kavanaugh released Access Revisable, which is a takeoff of the Access Version plugin, and he's been working on it for over a year, he said. So this is supposed to be used on active record models that need revision control, for example, like a wiki, and it gives fine-grained callbacks to the code. So you could do things like before revise, after revise, before revert, and things like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It works on Rails 2.3, and it's pretty killer if you need to do this sort of thing.
Speaking of Ruby stacks, there's a pretty interesting new post on the New Relic Rails Lab website about the state of the stack and the different stats for Rails apps these days.
And at the risk of sounding like corporate shills because they sponsor the podcast all the time, basically what they did is they took the stats of everyone running New Relic RPM, which I might add has a free version you could check out at newrelic.com, and they summarized it in a blog post. And, you know, something to remember about these stats is that, you know, they're only for people running New Relic RPM. So that's just something to keep in mind while we tell you about this stuff.
So they basically collect so much stats from all these different Rails apps. So they took all this data and they compiled it down to a list of, you know, who's using which Ruby versions. And then they found out that 36.1% of people are using Ruby 1.8.6. This is the x86-64 version on Linux, followed by the 1.8.6 i686 Linux version.
And as far as Rails goes, 37% of people are running on 2.2.2, followed by 15.5% on 2.1.0 and 9.6% on 2.1.2.
One thing that I noticed is that Ruby 1.9 wasn't listed anywhere on this page. Like, it just is so minute in the people that are running it in the production applications. It's kind of sad, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, New Relic is mostly for Rails, and I don't know. I'm sure there's got to be some issues with running Rails on 1.9, right?
No, I don't. I think they got all that ironed out with 2.3, plus Passenger runs it fine, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, as far as plugins and everything go, like, I don't know.
There's probably issues with some, but I bet there's some people out there that are using it in production by now. This is the Ruby community, you know.
Right.
Anyways, as far as...
Scala community.
Yeah, right. Anyways, they also listed a percentage of people using popular plugins. It turns out that 36% of the people using New Relic RPM are using exception notification, 37.9% use RESTful authentication, 36.8% use willpaginate, 35% use attachment foo, and 30% use hoptoad notifier.
Nice.
Yeah, the stats are really interesting because they give you a bit of insight into what most people are doing, which you could almost extrapolate as sort of a best practice. Well, maybe. Maybe you could.
Could I?
Maybe.
I don't think I will. Alexander Lang on the Upstream Agile blog.
Well, wait a second. Maybe you would. I'm not too sure. I'm just coming in here. Maybe you could. But, oh, never mind. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Alexander Lang on the...
But really, you might really want to think about it.
Alexander Lang on the Upstream Agile blog put up an interesting post talking about the different CouchDB libraries and which one he thinks you should be using for your application.
Oh, you mean because there's like 20 different libraries you can use to interface with CouchDB?
Right. He actually recommends not using CouchFoo.
Really? Isn't that the one that simulates an ORM on top of CouchDB? Why is that not good?
Well, because as he points out, CouchDB is not about relations. He says that in Active Record, we have to fit our models into the relational schema. And that's fine for a relational model, but not for CouchDB.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense, because I guess with CouchDB, you're dealing with a document-oriented database.
Right.
So it should be documents rather than objects with relations. What else does he say?
He says that in order to get the most out of CouchDB, you need to write your own MapReduce functions. And using an API that was designed for mimicking SQL won't let you do that.
Huh. Well, I'm not too sure everybody would agree with that.
Well, that's the best part. There's actually some pretty lively discussion going on his blog. So rather than totally take sides. We're totally going to cop out and just link you to the post.
Ooh, it's a cop out. Charlie Nutter put up an in-depth blog post this week about how JRuby makes Ruby fast. Definitely check it out if you're into reading about low-level benchmarks and methods of optimization.
And if you miss using the every method that's in enumerable in your Ruby 1.86 code, that's it. Moving on. Martin Almond made it a gem of its own. If you don't know what the every method does, it takes every item in enumerable and runs code on it. It's similar to symbol to proc.
So Jason.
Yeah.
Let's say you've got two hashes with some identical keys and need to merge the two together, but you want to concatenate the values instead of having one set override the whole hash. What do you do?
Panic?
No! You use the deep merge gem by Steve Migley. This gem is going to recursively merge your hashes for you. So if you had a key in hash 1 called JSON with the array 1, 2, 3, and a key called hash 2 with JSON and the array 4, 5, 6, you could call deep merge on it and you would get the key JSON with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right?
Oh, interesting.
There's also an option to pass in a double dash to knock out values if you want to do 1 overwritten, but I'm not entirely convinced it's a practical way to do things.
Jose Valim released Simple Form, which is a simple model with validations that lets you quickly and easily add a contact form to your Rails app that also includes validations. And did I mention it includes validations? Because it does.
Yeah, I saw this. This was pretty cool. Just makes it super easy to add a contact form. You know, it kind of looks like a model, but then you can just throw it in your Rails app and don't have to deal with any ERB.
There's like one line of code that you put in your ERB.
This week on RubyFlow, I saw that Remy on the Remy.org blog put up some Rack screencasts. He goes over some Rack basics and also introduces some middleware. I think it's really important that if you're creating web frameworks in Ruby, that you know how to properly use Rack and this sort of middleware stuff. It's awesome. Also in the comments, there's some links to some screencasts by Ryan Bates, you know, over at railscast.com, and an interesting Rack talk from John Crosby from the Mountain West Ruby Conference. Definitely watch his talk. John is awesome.
And speaking of Rack, the AmberBit blog has a neat post introducing Rack middleware also. It shows you how to create a simple Rack middleware using an ASCII shrimp as an example.
Just shrimp? I mean, I want the whole surf and the turf meal.
You're so shellfish.
Hey, Jason, I've got some good news for you.
What's that?
John Noonmaker has released Crack into the wild.
What?
You know, Crack.
Yeah, I know. Let me guess. The first gem install is free.
And then you just have to keep on paying. Oh, no, it's not what you're thinking. This is the Crack from the XML and JSON parsing libraries that are in use in the HTT party gem. They're extracted now and are available in their own gem.
Is this at all an offshoot from Antonio Canjiano's Ruby on Crack project?
I don't know. It could be. Remember, kids, Crack can make you a more productive Ruby programmer.
The Relevance guys have released Micronaut, which is a new testing framework for Ruby.
And what makes this different from the other testing frameworks?
Probably one of the biggest things is that Micronaut adds support for focused testing. So let's say you have a really large test suite, don't like to brag, and have a few broken tests in it. You could specify something like focus true, and it's just going to run those tests when you run your suite and none of the others.
Oh, it's interesting. So you could stay focused on a few failings or slow tests rather than having the whole test suite running over and over again.
Right. And from what they say, it's also really extensible. You know, one of the immediate things that I see for this that could be advantageous is modifying it to allow support for like online and offline tests.
Right.
So, for example, you know, say you have tests that you do want to hit an API, but you don't want to run them all the time. Mm-hmm. You could say something like online true or online false, and it would hit the API when you specify that, or just do stubbed out calls if not.
Oh, yeah, that'd be really useful. One thing that you forgot to mention is that Micronaut works with both test unit and RSpec, so you don't have to get into any, you know, religious testing wars.
Oh, okay. So, anyways, check out Micronaut in the show notes for a new look at testing.
Julian Genestu dropped us a line to let us know about Babylon, which is a framework to create XMPP applications. He says that one of the chief complaints of developing, you know, XMPP applications is the barrier to entry, and they've tried to simplify this. Babylon uses Event Machine, Noko Girl, Noko Giri, and a few and a few other libraries, basically, so you can create apps based on XMPP clients.
They'd also like to add that they'd love some help to make Babylon a plugin for Rails that would allow users to have an XMPP application inside of their Rails apps. So if you need to create any XMPP-enabled applications, maybe check out Babylon. JetBrains RubyMine IDE has gone into beta now. Straight from the website, it's got features like smart coding assistance, intelligent code refactoring, and code analysis capabilities. One thing that's pretty interesting to mention, during the beta period, everyone's entitled to receive a 50% discount coupon to purchase it when it comes out for only $49.
Oh, that's really reasonable.
Yeah, they're not sponsoring the podcast. We just thought we would mention that.
They should sponsor the podcast.
Hint, hint, JetBrains.
Brian Moriarty whipped up a small plugin to add SEO friendliness to Link to Remote in Rails. With Link to Remote, you know, if a user clicks a link in a browser, it's going to run whatever JavaScript you have associated with the link, right? With Brian's plugin, it now populates the href in the link, so Googlebot can follow it too and get back HTML instead of JavaScript.
All right, it's time for a little bit of shameless self-promotion from Greg and I. Personally, I've been having to do a lot of work with Rack lately, so I put together a list of 32 different links to get you started with Rack, and I'll link that up in the show notes.
2 weeks ago, Jason and I were out in Philadelphia for Philly Emerging Tech, and I put together one of my videos, you know, where I say, give me your talk in 30 seconds. So it turned out to be a 25-minute video if you want to check out this conference and see what people were buzzing about.
So, thanks so much for listening to the Rails Envy podcast. The Rails Envy podcast is sponsored this week by New Relic. New Relic provides RPM, which is a Ruby on Rails performance monitoring application that lets you see and understand application performance metrics in real time. Check them out at newrelic.com. Thanks so much for listening to the Rails Envy podcast, and make sure to tune in every Wednesday for the latest news in the Ruby and Rails worlds.